scripture reading tonight will be coming from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child through thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that which is in Jesus Christ.
What was your most embarrassing moment in your life? I've had many. Preaching it out was one time, and Daniel was a baby. Screaming. Fire to the windy, baby, please. It wasn't Daniel. Somebody else was baby. Probably the worst, most ashamed I've been. You can probably tell me a lot of times I should have been ashamed. Older I get, the less I'm ashamed when I make a mistake. Probably the most embarrassing, I'll never forget as long as I live. I ought to keep my mind anyway. Preaching in Summertown. I told you this story, but I'll never forget it. I felt this call. I wanted to go away. I wanted to feel like the people had never met me or seen me or I'd ever spoke. I got up and preached one Sunday night and they had a camera in the back and we went on cable TV and it had big spotlights, three or four big heavy lights to come down on me. And I got to preaching and I looked back, saw the camera, I lost my train of thought, and the light bulbs were just millions of degrees. I started sweating. Bad sweating. That kind of sweating. I couldn't get my thoughts back. I looked down at my Bible. I couldn't remember that it was a Bible. I looked up and I said, I appreciate y'all watching tonight on TV. See y'all next week or something like that. Shut my Bible and I got as far over to one side as I could and get away from the camera. They didn't put it on the air, but I had to face about 200 people. And I wanted to go away. I didn't want to look them in the eye. I didn't want anything. One of the elders was in charge of the television program, and when he come back there, I said, Brother Charles, I'll tell you what I'll do. Not only will I quit and leave, I'll give you this week's check if you won't put that on the air. He said, no, it's going on the air. I broke down. I said, no. No, it's not. We're not going to put it on the air. He was kidding me. So have you ever done something like that where you thought, I just want to crawl under a rock. I want to go away. I'm ashamed of what I've done. I can make a long list. It's been a lot of things in my life. Falling down, I said the other day that I fell. Every time I fell, nobody's been around except Wendy one time saw me fall. The rest of the time I've been by myself. I said, but people love it when a fat person falls. You get a big kick out of it. I fell at Walmart one time. One patch of ice in the whole parking lot when it's down by the Tractor Supply place in Atwood, that area. I come down there, I was in a hurry, I was getting with it, hit that patch of ice. Of course, that's been probably 15, 20, 25 years ago, I don't know how long ago. Feet went higher than my head, I hit. Everybody come, you okay? I was back on my feet like that. I am fine. Almost like I meant to do that. You know, I wouldn't fall. Have you got it in your head? What's the most embarrassing thing you've ever done? Read your story. It's called The Successful Businessman. The successful businessman was growing old. He knew that it was time to choose the successor to take over the business. He looked at his directors that he already had, and he looked at his children. But he decided to do something different. He called all the young executives in his company together, and you may have heard this before, but I like it. He said, it's time for me to step down and choose the next CEO, and I've decided. accuse one of you. The young executives were shocked, but the boss continued. It says, I'm going to give each one of you a seed today. A very special seed. I want you to plant the seed. I want you to water it. And I want you to come back here in 1 year from today with what you have grown from the seed that I've given you today. I will at that time judge the plants that you bring, and I will choose the next CEO. One man named Jim was there that day. Like the others, he received the seed. He went home and told his wife the story. She helped him get a pot, soil, and compost, and he planted the seed. Every day, Jim would water it, and he would watch to see if it had grown. After about 3 weeks, some of the other executives began to brag, talking about their seeds and the plants that were beginning to grow. Jim kept checking his seed, but nothing ever grew. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, still nothing. But now, the story says, others were talking about their plants. But Jim didn't have a plant, and he felt like a failure. 6 months went by, still nothing in Jim's pot. He knew he had killed his seed. Everyone else had trees and tall plants, but he had nothing. Jim didn't say anything to his colleagues. However, he just kept watering and fertilizing the soil. He so wanted the seed to grow. A year finally went by, and all the young executives of the company brought the plant to the CEO for inspection. Jim told his wife that he wasn't going to take an empty pot, but she asked him to be honest about what happened. Now, here's the feeling I know. Jim felt sick to his stomach. It was going to be the most embarrassing moment of his life, but he knew his wife was right. He took his empty pot in the boardroom. When Jim arrived, he was amazed at the variety of plants grown by other executives. They were beautiful in all shapes and sizes. Jim put his empty pot on the floor, and many of the colleagues laughed, and a few felt sorry. When the CEO arrived, he surveyed the room and greeted his young executives. Jim just tried to hide in the back. My, what great plants, trees, and flowers you've grown, said the CEO. Today, one of you will be appointed the next CEO. All of a sudden, the CEO spotted Jim in the back of the room with his empty pot. He ordered the financial director to bring him to the front. Jim was terrified. He thought, the CEO now knows I'm a failure. Maybe he'll even fire me. When Jim got to the front, the CEO asked him what happened to the seed, and Jim told him the story. The CEO asked everyone to sit down except for Jim. He looked at Jim and then announced to the young executive, behold your next chief executive officer. His name is Jim. Jim couldn't believe it. Jim couldn't even grow a seed. How could he be the new CEO, the other said. Then the CEO said, 1 year ago today, I gave every one of you in this room the seed. I told you to take the seed, plant it, water it, and bring it back to me, then. But I gave you all 4 seeds. They were dead. It was impossible for them to grow. All of you except Jim brought me trees, plants, and flowers. When you found that the seed would not grow, you substituted another seed for the one I gave you. Jim was the only one with courage and honesty to bring me a pot of my seed in. Therefore, he is the one that will be your new CEO. Honesty. In today's world, it may be something we don't hear a lot about. 2 years ago, I think it was, I was looking back on my computer. sin of lying. And I talked about how important it was that we be a people that tell the truth. And we give a definition of lying. That is Webster's definition of lying. And we talked about how the Bible directed us and pointed us in direction, how that we need to be honest and be truthful. The truth will set you free. But tonight, for just a minute, I want us to think about being honest with ourselves. We know we shouldn't lie, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. We know that the outcome of lying, all liars will be a place in hell. But what about when we lie to ourselves? Have you ever deceived yourself? Have you ever told yourself something not to be true? You know, is that not what sin really is? You think about the prodigal son for just a minute. You go back and you think about his life. You think about at a young age, he got excited. He went to his daddy and he said, "Daddy, I want the inheritance that I am going to get one day. I want it now." Oh, we all remember those days. We was about, I don't know how old he was, but we was about 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old. We knew everything. We could conquer the world. If you'll just give me my inheritance, I'll be out of your hair. And I'm going to go enjoy life. The guy that was left, you know the story. He got to the point he was broke. He had great friends. When he had money, when he lost his money, he lost his what? He lost his friends. Now here's where we come. I can picture this. So he's sitting there at the bottom. The bottom of the barrel, we say sometimes. He is as low as he can go in life. He don't know where he's going to turn. He had problems. You got problems? Well, he had problems. He had left his family. I say all the time, I believe Daniel and Wendy and Andy and Charlie and all my bunch over here, and there's one in the back somewhere. All my bunch will, I think, vouch for this, how I talk about family. He had left his family. And he went out to the world, and he wasted everything he had. In sin, in bad living, and he got hungry. What was he going to do? Up to that point, he wasn't being honest. But he finally started telling himself the truth. He said, "My servants that work for my Father, they have it better than I have it. And I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to go back to him, and I am going to say this. I am going to say I have sinned in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me accept." We've all been in trouble in our life, if you think back to younger years. You have to go home and tell your mom and daddy something. And I can picture this young man walking down a dirt road, kicking a rock, looking down at the ground, dust coming up, sweaty, tired. But the whole time in his head, he's dreading. He's dreading going back. But he stayed true to himself at that point. He knew he had to make a change. He knew where he was at with the body. And he said, "I'm going to climb back up." He went back home the right way. He went back home humble. He went back home willing to serve. He started being honest with himself. Tonight, maybe we need to look at ourselves and see where we need to go in our life. Are we being honest with ourselves each and every day of our life? Are we living that Christian life that we should? Are we dedicating our life to God? Are we being faithful? Are we willing to stand up and tonight humbly look at ourselves and say, "I am not in the right relationship with God. Something is separating. Something is a wedge guess when I first started preaching here, he and I had a long conversation about some things. I'll never forget what he told me. He said, sometimes, Tim, all we can do is help people get closer or nearer to God. We can't make them. We can't put them where they need to be, in other words. I think I'm right here, Steve. We can't put them exactly where they need to be, but if we can help someone at the end of the day be closer to God, that's all we can do. Scripture tells us if we will draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Our first challenge is to make sure that we're near to God. Tonight, how close are you to God? Do you feel like you can go to Him right now in prayer and God hear you? Or do you feel like that relationship is broken? Fractured maybe a little bit. Let's don't call it broke. Let's call it fractured. Maybe it's just not what it should be. Do you ever feel that way? Or do you feel like tonight, Charles, that I can go home and I can pray to God because I have the right relationship with God? If you don't, then get closer to God. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian at all. We're going to encourage you.